is you divide, let's say, substance into material and immaterial, and then you subdivide material into living and unliving, and it spreads out. So it's like a Christmas tree, right?
Yeah.
I told you one time at Laval there at Christmas time, the Christmas party they gave the Latin professor who taught, you know, a tree of porphyry, right? It's kind of a joke. But you represent then the more universal above the other, which is less universal, right? You speak of the underlying cause. Okay. And sometimes you speak of the cause of being before the effect, but before and after goes back to continuous. The first meaning, we said, is that of time, right? And the before and after in motion and magnitude. But that's a before and after in the continuous, huh? The discourse of reason, the running of reason, right? So, the sixth book of the physics, natural hearing, is the book of the philosophy of the continuous. The whole book is devoted to that. Huh? And that's where Aristotle take up, you know, the magnitude is being continuous, right? The line, and the motion down the line, and the time it takes, they're all continuous. Huh? And he'll show this in many ways. Huh? But all the famous propositions about the continuous, that it's divisible forever, right? That it's not composed of the indivisible, so. Mm-hmm. And so on. All these things are brought out in that sixth book, right? Mm-hmm. That became really a key thing. Huh? I think I mentioned this famous article by Charles de Coninck called, it's in French, in the Laval Théologique et Philosophique, Paradox de Devenir par la Contradiction. And Aristotle solved the problem, right? But as de Coninck points out, Hegel was deceived by this. He didn't understand it. And de Coninck talks about the difficulties they had in the Middle Ages about the Eucharist because they didn't understand this. Huh? And it's very subtle what Aristotle does there. You know? But it's the idea that when you have what is not a circle becoming a circle, let's say, right? Okay? And there's a time which it's not a circle, and there's a time that around which it is a circle, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? And is the last instant in which it is not a circle the first instant in which it is a circle? Well, if you say that, then in that instant, it would both be and not be a circle, which is a contradiction, right? Okay. But if the last instant in which it is not a circle and the first instance in which it is a circle are not the same instant, right? Then between them, there has to be some time. Then you ask the question again. In that time, is it or is it not a circle? See, it's got to be one or the other. Mm. And so you can't have a time in between that, right? Therefore, it seems that the last instant in which it is not a circle must be the first instant in which it is a circle, in which case you have a contradiction. That's the way Hegel proceeds, right? Mm-hmm. So that becoming is a contradiction. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's where the Marxists get the idea that all change is a contradiction. But this happened in the theology of the Eucharist, right? Because there's a time in which under the accidents of bread and wine, there's really bread and wine there. And then there's a time in which there's no longer bread or wine there, but there's the body and blood of our Lord. Huh? Okay? And this is the problem. Is the last instant in which it is, or the time in which it is bread and wine, the same as the first instant in which it is the body and blood of our Lord? Well, then you have heresy, right? Okay? But then, if they're not the same instant, then there's some time in which there's neither the bread and wine under there, nor the body and blood of our Lord, in which case the Eucharist would be impossible because you couldn't change none being into the body and blood of our Lord. So, that involves the solution of that problem, right? That you can only solve it by going back to the sixth book of Aristotle's Physics. Now, what Aristotle does is very subtle, right? But he will show that there's no last instant in which you are what? Not a circle. Mm-hmm. That's the last time, not last instant. Mm. But there's a first instant in which you are a circle. Mm. You know? That's very subtle, right? The Aristotle saw that, right? See? But, you know, that didn't enter to the theology, right? And he kind of is showing in that article, you know, the difficulty the theologians had until Thomas, using Aristotle, solved the difficulty. But you find Hegel making the same mistake, right? And therefore saying that contradiction or change involves a contradiction, right? But obviously he doesn't know it's Aristotle. So I find the moderns, you know, repeating the mistakes that Aristotle has refuted, and it's like they don't know. They're repeating history, right? Mm-hmm. But you see the importance of this for theology, right? That people couldn't solve it without Aristotle. Mm-hmm. So that's. But so the philosophy of the continuous is extremely important. But as I say in this text of Thomas there in the De Potentia, Questiones Disputate De Potentia, which is kind of my favorite work of all the Questiones Disputate. It's got nice sections on the Trinity and so on. But Thomas makes his point, how our names seem to come from the what? Continuous, huh? Because our knowledge starts there with the continuous. Of course, we always fall back upon the continuous and sometimes get into false imagination. No? Mm-hmm. And Thomas has to point out that God is not indivisible like the point is, because the point is something indivisible that has a location in the continuous, right? Mm-hmm. It's here or there, right? God is indivisible outside the whole genus of the continuous. Mm-hmm. So, but you have to distinguish God from the continuous. Huh? What's the first thing we learned about God? The substance of God, I mean, after his existence.
His materiality?
Well, but God is, God is not a body, right? You see? Even before it doesn't have matter. So you go back to the very first article in question 3, right? Yeah, well, God is a body, right? Huh? Okay. There you're learning that God is not what? Continuous, right? But anyway. No, so now I talk about a road in our thinking, right? And the Greeks had all talked about a road in our thinking. But a road, in the original meaning of the word, is something continuous. Huh? But when Aristotle talks about thinking there in the third book about the soul, he points out that thoughts are like numbers, not like what? Something continuous, right? So when you carry over the word road to the mind, you keep the idea of before and after, which you can have with numbers, right? But you drop the idea of what? The continuous. Okay? So, thoughts are not divisible forever like the continuous is. And between the premises of the syllogism and the conclusion, there's no thought. If I say, every mother is a woman, and Socrates is not a woman, there's the next thought.
Socrates is not a mother.
Yeah, see? Just like the numbers, right? 3 to the next number, 4, right? But this line here, is there a next line? Next longer line?
Nope.
No, you see? So there's a next thought, but not a next